Lord, look at our hearts. President David O. McKay. David O. McKay, Conference Report, October 1956, pages 124-125. Just a word about our obligation as citizens. When the Apostle Paul was being bound with thongs for a scourging, he said to the centurion that stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman, and uncondemned?" Then the chief captain came and said to Paul, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" And Paul answered that he was. And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtain I this freedom." I fancy that Paul straightened up when he said, "But I was freeborn." I wonder if we freeborn Americans appreciate what it is to have the right to vote, to express by our vote our choice of those who are to rule over us. No, thank heaven, not to rule over us, to serve us in the service of the government. For you, the electorate, are the rulers in this great republic. Those who have taken out their citizenship I think appreciate it even more than some of us who have it by birth. We have an election in November, in which you have the right to state who will fill the offices that are now to be filled in the nation, in the state, and in our local affairs. We ask, we plead that every member of the church go to the polls in November and cast your vote for the men and women whom you wish to occupy the offices named. Now you choose, and choose wisely and prayerfully, but cast your vote. We have a moment left in which to express appreciation and gratitude for those who have quietly and effectively rendered service in making these 3 days of conference so memorable. Undoubtedly I shall overlook some, but our hearts go out to everyone, and to all groups who have contributed to the success of this, probably the greatest, the most inspirational conference we have held. I can just merely name them. First, we thank the public press, especially our leading newspapers who have been so fair and generous in letting the public who could not attend conference understand and to a degree partake of the inspiration that radiated not only from the words but also from the hearts of the speakers. We express appreciation to the reporters who have daily taken notes and so fairly and accurately reported each session of the conference. We express appreciation for the cooperation of the city officials, including Chief Cleon W. Skousen and the traffic officers. I have noticed, as have many of you, that officers in uniform have been constantly at posts of duty protecting, as far as they could, pedestrians from any possible danger. We express appreciation to the ushers who have rendered service early and late in seating the great audiences. They have been quiet, but effective, in their services. We have already expressed appreciation for these beautiful flowers, prophets of beauty and song, among the sweetest of God's blessings to men, to life. How beautiful is God's world if we but stop to listen and to look. We express appreciation for the assistance rendered by the various radio and television stations, here in our own city and state, and in other states named in the various sessions of the conference. Truly, their service has been a means of permitting tens of thousands of people to hear the proceedings of this, the 127th semi-annual conference of the church. We have been greatly blessed throughout the conference with music the first day, the Singing Mothers, conducted by Sister Florence J. Madsen, the second, by the combined Scandinavian choirs under the direction of Brother R. Halbert Giddington, and today, the inspirational singing of our own Tabernacle Choir under the leadership of Brother J. Spencer Cornwall. How their singing, so willingly and spiritually rendered, has uplifted our souls. We have always had good singing in previous conferences, but I feel somehow that these three groups of singers throughout this conference have reached superior heights, and we say thank you, and God bless you. I wish to express gratitude for the support, blessing, and strength always of Presidents Richards and Clark, and for the spirit of unity that pervades the quorum of the presidency. The wisdom of these able men is ever directed to the furtherance of the kingdom of God. May the Lord continue to bless them. Likewise, these members of the Council of the Twelve, you can feel that in these quorums you can feel radiating from these men that for which Christ prayed when he offered that great intercessory prayer. Among other things he said, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, as we are." These brethren prove daily, as was particularly evidenced in a sacred meeting in the temple last Thursday, that they have that spirit of oneness, and we are united in praying that you presidencies of stakes, bishoprics of wards, presidencies of quorums, presidencies and superintendencies of auxiliaries, may be so blessed that you too may say, "We strive to be one as the Father and Son are one." God bless you that this may be true. Just preceding the opening of this conference, the Relief Society held dedicatory services of the new Relief Society home. They have been crowded, and have had to work in the congested hallways, stacked with boxes, to prepare sacred clothing. They have been forced to store away mementos and gifts because they had no room for them. Gifts presented to them by lovers of the truth. Now they have a home in which these gifts may be properly displayed. What is more, the dedication of this home has given room now to the other auxiliaries who are crowded, inconvenienced in their efforts to serve the church. The removal of the relief society from their old quarters to the new will relieve the congested quarters of the other auxiliaries. We suggest to these auxiliaries that they continue as best they can. Committees are now working on plans to help you that you may have more room. In the meantime, work as best you can until the opportunity comes to give you also more room. There are some others to whom I wish to express gratitude. We have not heard from them. They are the men and women throughout the entire church who are contributing of their time and means to the advancement of the truth, not just in teaching, but in genuine service in many ways. Some of these are struggling to make their own living. Some of them are wealthy men and women who have retired, who count their wealth in millions. It means something when a man of means will give to the church his contribution of a million, and then say, "All my time is yours." It means something to leave your vocation, cross the ocean, and render service to the building of schools and temples. God bless those who are rendering this service, and bless you all, for I think we can say for the church, we are striving to be one. Father, as thou and thy Son are one, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me, said our Lord and Savior. We are grateful to the Lord for the guiding influence of His Holy Spirit throughout this conference. There is a saying that my soul rejects the use of words, "Lord, look at my heart." We can sincerely say, as unitedly we express gratitude to Him for His presence during this conference, "Lord, look at our hearts." God help us all to serve one another in His name for the good and advancement of the kingdom of God. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.